It's TechBiter Worldwide with Bill Blinn. The latest on programs and policies, helpful hints, and a bit of occasional nonsense. All in more or less plain English.
Podcast number 874 for the 22nd of March, 2024. This week, one of the most common ways that people are victimized online involves the victims failing to recognize social engineering and giving their login credentials to scammers. In short circuits, Facebook accounts are filled with gold that scammers like to mine. There's a quick and easy way to view what crooks see so you can modify your account to maximize security. And Europeans can remove Microsoft's Edge browser because of European Union rules, but those rules don't apply in the United States. There's still a way to tame or remove Edge if you'd like to, and I'll explain how. The most common method scammers use to take your credit card or bank account information for a trip into a dark alley isn't a credit card skimmer. It's not eavesdropping on an unencrypted Wi-Fi connection. The easiest method to obtain a user's login ID and password is simply to ask for them. Two-factor authentication tilts the playing field a bit in our favor, but crooks have found a way around those safeguards, and not every organization yet supports two-factor authentication. Certainly, you would refuse to give someone your login credentials if you received a phone call from somebody you didn't know, and the caller said, "Look, you don't know me, but would you please give me your username and password for your bank so I can empty your bank account?" Well, they don't ask that way. One common method that has seen a lot of use this year involves phony messages on Facebook that appear in your feed because you or someone you know is tagged. The message laments someone's death, but never names the person. In some cases, the unnamed person has died of natural causes, but more often it's the result of a horrendous wreck, complete with a shocking image from a news story or a dash cam. What appears to be a link to a YouTube video or a video on some other legitimate source is shown, but the link does not go to the named source. The link could be to a site that loads malware onto your computer, or it might want you to log into a social media account, which then allows the scammer to steal the username and password. This is effective because far too many people use the same credentials for social media accounts and banks. Or maybe you receive an email that pretends to be from your bank, explaining that your money is at risk from an embezzler who, oddly enough, works at the bank. And it offers to safeguard your money by helping you to move it to a secret location where the embezzler can't get it. The trick makes the process easy because the scammer never needs to obtain your credentials. Instead, they'll convince you to do all the heavy lifting, move your money to where they can get it, and then disappear without a trace. More traditional techniques involve sending an email purporting to be from your bank. The message may say that the bank has noticed what appears to be a fraudulent attempt to use your credit card. You'll need to click a link in the message to confirm your identity so that the bank can halt the transaction. The link will take you to a page that looks like your bank's login page, but it's really on a server that the scammer is running. When you enter your username and password, the crook gets them and passes them on to your bank. You'll be logged into your account, but the crook will be tagging along. You'll then think you logged out later, but the crook stays behind, changes your password and the phone number used for two-factor authentication, and then transfers some or all of your money to their account. The message may have an attachment that's supposed to show details of a purchase that's been charged to your account. The attachment installs malware on your computer, so the crook has full control of it. Crooks also use SMS messages claiming to be from legitimate organizations. Or they can plant malware on legitimate websites and use an honest website to display an alarming message on computers used by website visitors. The SMS message or the pop-up alert will warn that your computer is infected and say you must contact tech support immediately for assistance. A phone number is provided, and the scammers will try to talk anyone who calls into paying for protective software that's useless, or maybe even worse. And if the user refuses the offer, well, then the scammer will try to gain access to the user's computer by promising to fix the problem, which of course doesn't exist, at no charge. The technician will then install malware on the computer. Those are just a few of the techniques that thieves use to convince people to hand over their valuable information. Scammers are clever enough to always be on the lookout for new approaches. The messages may claim to be an alert that your account has been accessed by someone in a foreign country, that there's a suspicious transaction on your bank account or credit card, that the IRS or Social Security needs a response from you immediately. Maybe that an expensive computer has shipped to you, or an expensive camera, or an expensive phone, or that you've signed up for or canceled a service, that a package couldn't be delivered, or any of hundreds of other topics that scammers have found to be effective. Well, stop. Wait. Read the message again. Read it several times. Look for clues that it is a fraud. Crooks want you to act without thinking. That's why they tell you it's important to do it right now. And they include notes of emergency in their messages. Well, the FBI, Microsoft, the IRS, and most other organizations will not contact you initially by email. Those that do may occasionally include a clickable link, but you should never use the clickable link. If you receive a message from your bank, don't click on the link in the message. Instead, it's your bank. You already have the login credentials somewhere. Log on to the bank's website the way you would normally. Or call the bank. If you call, use the phone number on the bank's website or on the back of your credit card, not a number that's included in the suspect message. Remember that the bank will never ask for your username or password by phone. And if the bank calls you, they will be able to tell you your full account number so that you can validate them, not the other way around. Fish Tank is a useful organization where users can submit, verify, track, and share phishing data. You'll find a link to Fish Tank on the TechBiter Worldwide website. There's a database of confirmed phishing URLs for sites that attempt to steal user information by making users believe that they are accessing a legitimate service. Users submit suspected phishing URLs, and other users can then vote to verify the status as a phishing site or dispute it. When a URL receives enough valid votes, it is declared a confirmed phishing site. Remember that no matter what protective software is running on your computer, you are the final line of defense. Everything you share on the internet makes it easier for scammers to convince you that you know them. Use protective software such as antivirus and anti-malware applications, but don't depend entirely on them. Enable a VPN when shopping or accessing a financial website, particularly when you're not at home, on your own private network. Enable two-factor authentication on every website that offers it. And be a bit paranoid. You are the final line of defense. You are the one who can recognize a threat and shut it down. You are the one who can avoid clicking on a dangerous link. Don't be the fish who gets caught in a crook's net. If you find these podcasts useful, and I hope you do, might you consider a donation? There are no ads here, and support from listeners is the sole source of income. It's easy. Just visit the website and click the donate button near the top of any page. You can make a one-time donation or schedule a repeating donation every month. I thank you. And so does the cat. In short circuits, the best way to deal with a cloned or hijacked Facebook account is to avoid having the account cloned or hijacked in the first place. The best preventive measures start by learning what might attract scammers. In this week's main article, I described some of the dangers to watch for, ways to eliminate trouble by not clicking links, not falling for obvious scams, and not cheerfully handing over your credentials to crooks. There's also a quick and easy way to see your Facebook page as a thief might see it. Start by logging into your account on a computer or a mobile device. On a computer, go to your account page, click the ellipsis dots at the right side of the menu, and choose View As. The process is similar on a phone. Navigate to your timeline page and click the three ellipsis dots, then choose View As from the next menu you see. This will display your page the way others, including crooks, would see it. Take a look at each section on the About tab. The less information visible here, the less attractive your account will be to scammers. When you move on to the Friends tab, the safest setting will report No Friends to Show, as I described earlier. The Photos and Videos tab will display any items that you've shared publicly. Likewise, check-ins that you've posted publicly. The most important setting for me is to hide all friends from everyone but me. If scammers can't see your friends, they'll have little interest in cloning your account. If you find information or images that you don't want the public to see, visit Facebook's Privacy Settings section, and at the risk of repeating myself one time too many, it's best to set your friends list so that only you can see them. I recently found a Facebook group that can help frustrated users, and to the best of my knowledge, Facebook has no users other than frustrated ones. Platform Help, which used to be called Facebook Help, is a private group where you can find ways to fix a lot of annoyances. Keep in mind, though, that while the group may be operated by people who can help with Facebook annoyances, it is not operated or supported by Facebook. That, of course, would be too much like offering a needed service. Because Platform Help is a private group, you will need to request admittance before you post anything to it. If you deal with Facebook on a mobile device, you're mainly stuck with the Facebook app, but Social Fixer and Fluff Busting Purity can eliminate some of the worst annoyances if you view Facebook on a computer. You'll find links to Social Fixer and Fluff Busting Purity on the TechBiter Worldwide website. Anybody who interacts with Facebook on a Windows, macOS, or Linux computer is probably spending more time being annoyed than they should. Check out either Facebook Purity or Social Fixer. My preference is Social Fixer, but they're both good applications. Pick one or the other, not both. If you do enable both, the results are unpredictable. Facebook will always be an annoyance, but it is possible to tame some of the worst annoyances. If you've set your default web browser to be Microsoft Edge, or if your default is some other browser but you really don't mind when Microsoft forces you to use Edge, you can just skip what I have to say here. But if you don't want Edge to take over without asking, I can offer you a solution. The easiest solution, if you detest Edge, is simply to remove it from the computer. But there's a problem. There is no way to simply remove Edge. As is typical of Microsoft, the company makes the process more difficult than it should be. And as we move toward later versions of Windows, it is becoming impossible, at least in the US. It used to be that removing Edge was deceptively simple, but when Windows notices that it's gone, it simply reinstalled the browser. This doesn't happen in European Union countries because Microsoft must comply with the EU's Digital Market Act. Europeans can also disable the search bar, which is powered by Microsoft's Bing search engine. They can also remove Microsoft's Photos, Camera, and Cortana apps. Microsoft should make those options available worldwide, including right here in the United States. But don't hold your breath. If your version of Windows is version 23H2 or earlier, it is possible to remove Edge and keep it from returning. Tom's guide describes the process in detail. That's not a solution for me, though. I like having Edge on the computer because, really, it's not a bad browser. I simply want Edge to run only when I explicitly run it. If you don't mind having Edge on your computer, you may still resent Microsoft's heavy hand that forces you to use it when you click a link in a Microsoft app. If you're using Word, Outlook, or Excel and you click on an embedded link, Edge answers, even though you've specified some other browser as the default. It's not a big deal to close Edge after visiting the site, but it's infuriating for this to be needed. Well, maybe not infuriating, but it is annoying. And as you may already know, I don't like being annoyed by a computer. I could switch to LibreOffice and avoid the problem, but LibreOffice doesn't include some of the important components that are included with Microsoft 365. OneNote, for example. Moving to Europe would be another solution, but I don't speak any of the languages except for a smattering of Russian, and I'm certainly not going to move to Putin's paradise. What about English? Well, Great Britain is no longer in the European Union. So, the solution turns out to be easy and free. Visit GitHub, you'll find a link on the TechBiter Worldwide website, and download MS Edge Redirect. At the time I wrote this, the stable version was 0.7.5.3, and the beta version is also available from GitHub, as well as from Winget, Scoop, and Chocolaty. It runs on any version of Windows 8.1 and later. MS Edge Redirect switches all links that attempt to open in Edge to your preferred browser. And it also stops search requests from opening in Bing. Instead, you can set your own preferred search engine. The installation is a bit puzzling. Three modes are shown. One is selected by the default, but another is recommended. The European mode should not be used in the United States because it will tamper with the computer's locale settings. U.S. users have the option of service mode, which is selected by default, and active mode, which is recommended. On the first go, I used the service mode, but found that the installation didn't work as I expected it to. On the second try, I switched to the recommended active mode. The installer selected Edge Stable, which is the version installed on my computer, and I also switched Bing Discover to Google, Bing Search to DuckDuckGo, MSN News to DuckDuckGo, MSN Weather to AccuWeather, Bing Images to DuckDuckGo, and the PDF Viewer to my system's default viewer. So now Edge is still installed, but it opens only when I want it to. At least most of the time. I have found some instances in which MS Edge Redirect doesn't work. Microsoft Loop, for example, which is intended to perform some of the tasks I use OneNote for, still manages to call Edge instead of my preferred browser. Well, good. That gives me yet another reason not to use Loop. Thanks for listening to TechBiter Worldwide. I'm Bill Blinn. There's more on the website, techbiter.com, and if you have a question or a comment, use the contact link you'll find there. Stop by again next week for another session.